Move to the next case of the day.
Curry.
Curry versus Nicholson. Bridge.
Good morning. May it please the court, I have the privilege to represent the appellant James Curry in this appeal. As the court is aware, this is a case alleging disparate treatment on the basis of race. Briefly, the facts show that Curry was the chief of police of Westside VA since 1987. Following the merger of Westside and Lakeside in 96, he continued to serve as chief of police of both facilities until he was removed from that position effective July 12, 2004. The parties really don't contest the fact that Mr. Curry received fully satisfactory performance reviews at all times during his 18 years. And more importantly for the court's analysis, I think it's significant to note that Michelle Blakely, the associate director and his immediate supervisor, characterized Mr. Curry's performance as outstanding in her opinion for the period ending March 31, 2004. Curry was removed as chief of police on July 12th following what would be called an audit of the service by what's referred to as OSLE, and that's the Office of Security and Law Enforcement. In the trial court and in this court, Curry alleges really only two challenges to this report. First being that he raised tribal issues of fact, showing that the articulated reasons for his removal and the reasons for this OSLE report were pretextual. And secondly, and more importantly perhaps for a Title VII appeal, Mr. Curry alleges and shows in the record that similarly situated non-black service chiefs who were subject to audits of their service and whose services were deemed deficient in areas were not subject to removal and were granted greater rights than he. Now, as to the OSLE audit in July of 2004,
yeah,
they were not only false, it's important that the court realize that they weren't really audits of the police service in the first instance. More specifically, Mr. Curry was subject to no less than three separate administrative board of investigations prior to this OSLE investigation. The first one was done in August of 2003. That dealt with allegations that he had improperly hired two police officers. The next one, done on October 7th, a couple months later, was dealt with the issue regarding patient injuries. There was some question raised, likewise, about the police service being responsible for patient injuries. More importantly, in November of 2003, at the end of that year, there was a wide-ranging Administrative Board of Inquiry dealing with alleged anonymous reports, and these anonymous reports dealt with no less than 11, I believe 10 or 11, specific violations or deficiencies within the police service.
I'm going to just stop you for a moment, Mr. Bridge.
Yes, Your Honor.
Because I think you have such a difficult road to climb here when what I'm thinking is it's so difficult to prove pretext in the case when you have this independent evaluation team from OSLE. You know that Mr. Curry wasn't meeting his employer's legitimate expectations. How do you get past that? I've been trying, you know,
more
to work
fair,
it out in my own head.
More than a fair question, Your Honor. The pretextual analysis that Mr. Curry would suggest to this court is fairly simple. These three ABIs, or Administrative Boards of Review, that were conducted at the end of 2003 were exhaustive. When the audit of OSLE is suggested, it is suggested that it is these same reasons that are necessary for the OSLE report. Now, it's significant at this point because when we do convene, when the agency convenes the OSLE report, as testified by Ms. Blakely, the direct supervisor, none of these reports are submitted to the OS&LE investigators. And it's significant because in each of the prior investigations, Mr. Curry was found not liable. They were unsubstantiated in almost all degree. There was no suspensions or faults on his part noted. But these very reports became the exact same issues as studied by the OS&LE. The significance or the pretextual nature of it is even though these reports were out there and existed, they were not given to the OS&LE investigators. So they start off with the premise that these are open issues that haven't been looked at before, when in fact they had, and 99%, if not all of them, had found unsubstantiated problems with the performance of Mr. Curry. More importantly also, when we get to the issue of pretext, is how this OS&LE investigation was conducted. And, Supervisor Blakely testifies, and again, she's a direct supervisor of my client. She's the associate director. She testifies that, in her opinion, this OS&LE investigation was prefabricated and designed from the beginning to find fault.
It was somewhat critical of her, too, wasn't it?
There was a criticism of her, but, of course, she wasn't the subject of the report. But, again, she notes, I was excluded. Not only I, Ms. Blakely was excluded from the exit interviews and the interviews coming up with the report's findings. This is her area of the hospital she's responsible for. So was Mr. Curry. And of course, an audit, an OS&LE audit, is conducted to determine how the police service is running, what problems there are, whether they're staffing, whether they're disciplinary, or the like. But Ms. Blakely testifies, you know, I've done a lot of these. I've never seen myself as the individual responsible for the chief to report to be excluded, and the chief himself. So she was directly excluded. So was Mr. Curry. And as a result of that exclusion, and rightly so, she says under oath in her deposition, you know, I was given no ability to come forward and explain any of the deficiencies that they noted in the report, nor was I allowed, or Mr. Curry, to give them the evidence, a significant amount of evidence, showing there was no culpability by Mr. Curry with respect to any of these issues, and that they had prior been investigated to death, in her words. Basically, we were kept in the dark. So the investigators came forward and said, well, here's some new issues we've got to look at. We find significant problems. But the only two people that could answer those problems, number one, are excluded. And it's a purpose exclusion. And it's so weird to have an audit without the service chief even given a shot.
Is that where the racial claim comes in?
Indeed, the racial claim relates to his comparatives. He shows in the trial court three separate non-black service chiefs.
Okay, so they weren't excluded because they were black.
No, these...
Blakely and Curry. They weren't excluded from the... You say it's unusual to be excluded from this investigation.
It is.
That wasn't the reason they were excluded. You're not alleging that, then.
No, it's atypical. In fact, all other service chiefs and the comparatives that we show... Dr. Woods, Dr. Nand, and of course, our biggest comparative would be the Ohio Chief of Police, who was subject to an audit, in that case, Frank Watts. Now, in Watts' case and in all the other comparatives that are non-blacks, they were allowed to participate, they were allowed to be present, and then, more importantly, none of them were dismissed or terminated. They were allowed to take remedial steps before they were ever subject to discipline. Curry, and perhaps more important than anything, is Curry is never even given a copy of the OS&LE report to defend himself. And this is true not only at the time of the issuance and his removal, all through the EEO administrative process, and defendant concurs and admits that they didn't produce this report to him until December 5, 2005. I think that's a unbelievable admission, and I invite counsel to address this, because remember, Curry is removed for these reasons in the OSNLE report. There is absolutely, it's incredible for me to believe that a person could be subject to removal, and a year and a half later, after he filed a federal district court action, be given for the first time the reasons. And he asked repeatedly for these reasons. And, of course, that's why Michelle Blakely says, you know, I find this to be, and I believe, discriminatory. And she...
That's discriminatory based on race.
She says all other whites that I've been privy to that have been subject to OSNLE reports are given not only the report, but an opportunity to respond to the report. And in none of those cases were they excluded from the participation of the interview with the auditors. So and all of these are disparate.
Thank you.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Thanks. Mr. Miller?
May it please the court and counsel. I'd like to start out by pointing out that Mr. Curry was reassigned. He wasn't dismissed, just to get the record straight here. He was reassigned based on the inspection report.
It seems to me that a change in title from chief of police of a VA medical center to program specialist is a demotion, no matter whether he maintained the same salary and benefits. He didn't have the same title. He didn't have the same responsibilities. You know, I mean, let's say Chief Judge Easterbrook says to me, you know, Rovner, I'm going to allow you to keep your salary and your benefits, but your only task from this day forward is ruling on motions for extensions of time, and your new title is general helper to the courts. I would have
suffered.
Good
work if you can get it.
Look at them wishing over there. I would have suffered an adverse employment action, wouldn't I? I mean, how's that different from his situation? Look at what they did to him.
I think we don't know really what his new assignments and duties and responsibilities would have been, because he said immediately that he wanted to retire, and then he went on sick leave for 3 months. So I think that's why there's an absence in the record of showing what that other job really would have been like.
Well, he did. He came back, and they gave him nothing to do. He sat there. Isn't that correct? Am I wrong?
Well, I think some things happened before then, which is he immediately told Mr. Citron that he wanted to retire 2 minutes after learning
about
the
assignment. Well, but then he changed his mind and came back.
Well, then he went to the HR department, the Human Resources Department, and told the person there that he wanted to retire. Then he went on sick leave for 3 months. During that period, he called Ms. Blakely and told her that he wanted to retire. She passed that information on to Mr. Ryan, who was the new supervisor. Then after 3 months, when Mr. Curry came back, he immediately told Mr. Ryan that he was retiring, and of course Mr. Ryan already knew that. Mr. Ryan gave him some assignments, and he proceeded to not do them. So that's why I think we don't know what the new job really would have been about. But I don't want to get too caught up in that, because I think I'd like to address the pretext issue, which is what the district court focused on. What Mr. Curry has attempted to do in this case is bring up various criticisms or problems with the inspection process and argued that somehow that shows pretext. We think there's two big problems with that approach. The first problem is none of those criticisms of the inspection process show in any way that the inspection was not the real reason for him being reassigned, or if you want to treat it as something else, it's still the same analysis. The fact that you think the inspection should have involved you more, that doesn't show that that wasn't the real reason in the end for you being reassigned. So we think that approach doesn't work. I'd also point out that the many criticisms he's making don't have any linkage with his race in any way. They're just criticisms of the inspection process and the way it was done. And, of course, race is what the case should really be about, not just an attack or criticism of the way the inspection was done. I do want to be clear, I'm not suggesting in any way that Mr. Curry's criticisms are valid of the inspection process. I think if you actually look at the record, his criticisms turn out to be unfounded, and probably the best example of that is looking at the inspection report itself. And what you see if you look at that report is the inspectors did a very, very thorough review. They interviewed many of Mr. Curry's employees. They went through each and every program and each and every element of the police services. And then they documented everything they did in a thorough 30-page report that shows exactly what the problems were.
And that report, it seems to be, you know, disputed whether or not he's ever received a copy of that report.
What the record shows on that point is that he did not receive a copy of the report at the time he was told he was reassigned. And then he went on sick leave for 3 months. So, of course, during that period, he didn't receive a copy of the report.
Why? They don't mail people copies of reports that have everything to do with their lives?
The reason is because he was telling everybody he could find that he was going to retire. So at that point, there's no purpose anymore in giving him the report. And he's gone from the workplace. He's told Mr. Citron, an HR person, Ms. Blakely, and Mr. Ryan that he's retiring. There's no point at that point. He did get it in the litigation. That's when he got it. And actually, the VA at that point still had concerns about spreading this report around, because basically what it does is detail various weaknesses in the police service there. So I think that was a concern
so
as well.
So we hide those?
Well, we don't want to make them available any more than they need to be made available. And if somebody's telling you that they're going to retire and they're telling everybody in sight that, it doesn't make sense to give it to them. But again, going back to the pretext point, even if this court were to assume, just for the sake of argument, that there were some defects in the inspection process, and we don't think that's the case, but even if the court were to assume that, those defects that are being alleged, just they don't show in any way that the inspection was not the real reason for him being reassigned. And again, they don't link with his race or anything else like that. And it turns out, of course, the record shows that the police chief who replaced him was also African-American. That fact alone just flies in the face of his discrimination claim here.
Well, he focuses on the similar, because what he says is similarly situated people who were treated better.
I would like to address those. At the district court level, he actually pointed to five individuals. There's no evidence anywhere in the record that any of those five individuals were specifically recommended for reassignment. And I think that's a fundamental difference that distinguishes all of them from Mr. Curry. If you have a report that criticizes a service area where you're the chief, obviously that's a problem and it's something you need to work on. But that is fundamentally different than having a report that says there's a lot of problems and the chief is one of the biggest parts of the problem. And we recommend that as a first step towards correcting all those things, you reassign the chief. That evidence does not exist for any of the other comparators alleged by him.
You mean they weren't heads of the department or something?
No, none of them. At least one of them was, which is Dr. Wood, who was the chief of surgery. And Chief Watts was the chief of the police service in 1995 in Ohio. So they were chiefs. But none of them had any sort of report that ever specifically recommended their reassignment. And that's
what he's complaining about. They weren't recommended for reassignment. He was.
Right, and that gets into the inspection process, and he has complaints about it, but again, they don't go to the issue of pretext. They're just complaints about a bad inspection process, bad management by the VA. It should have been done a better way. There's better business practices. Those items don't go to pretext under many of this court's precedents. And I would like to say a few more things about the comparators. Two of them, both of whom are white men, this is Bill Sparr and Paul Johnson, it turned out that they were, in fact, reassigned. So that's why he's not mentioning them now. But again, that just flies in the face of his claim of discrimination here. Four of the comparators worked outside of the police service. And again, I think that makes them fundamentally different, especially at this time. Of course, after September 11th, there's a lot of focus on security, and there's an urgency to that. That same urgency does not apply to other service areas for the VA. Mr. Curry provided some testimony of his own where he said a lot of these other folks were similar to him, but I'm sorry. He alleged that a lot of them were similar in other ways, but his testimony on these points just is not admissible because he didn't have personal knowledge. He was basing all of this on the grapevine, and he himself admitted that. In addition to the problems with pretext, I think that the district court can be affirmed here based on the lack of the prima facie elements for the McDonnell-Douglas test. And the district court didn't address that, but I think there are serious, serious problems with those other prima facie elements. I've already discussed the comparables. I don't think there was any similarly situated individual outside of his protected class who was treated more favorably than him. In addition to that, I'd say there's no adverse action here, and we discussed that a bit because he was resigned and then, I'm sorry, he was reassigned and then he immediately retired, and we don't believe that's an adverse action. And then lastly, we don't believe he was meeting his employer's legitimate expectations, and that's just established by the inspection report. Counsel, I see my time is up. Should I finish this part?
Finish it up.
We think the inspection report shows that he didn't meet the expectations. If there are not any further questions, we'd ask that the district court be affirmed.
Okay, thank you. Now, Mr. Bridger, your time is up. I'll give you 30 seconds if you've got something you need to throw in here. Do it quick.
I just would like to address the issue of disparate treatment, and this is a race case, counsel is right. The reason that I bring the court's attention to the three individuals that are comparables, Dr. Nahan, Dr. Woods, and the chief of police, all of those individuals were treated more favorably, were not subject to removal, were not reassigned, and they are all service chiefs of non-black.
What about the two that were reassigned?
I don't know the facts of either one of those. We didn't get enough discovery to really know. Okay. But we do have three before the court. We believe we're treated differently. I thank the court for its time.
All right, thanks. Thanks to both counsel. The case will be taken under advisement.